The Supreme Court is considering the case of an Illinois man who said, I do not want to have to pay those Ask Me dues. He is a state social worker, and he loves the work he does, but he doesn't love the union that represents him. But when you do that work for the state, you have no choice. You're automatically a member of that union. And there's benefits that come with that, but he says, it's not enough for me. Now, the man that's representing him, he has a couple of attorneys. One is Jacob Huber, and he joins us now on WGN Radio. Jacob, it's John Williams. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about this case.
Well, as you say, there are lots of workers in Illinois, and in fact, there are about 5 million workers across 22 states who are forced to give a part of every paycheck to a union, even if they're not members of the union, and even if they want nothing to do with that union. And we're arguing that that violates these workers' rights under the First Amendment to decide for themselves what political advocacy they will and won't support with their money, and what groups they will and won't associate with.
Right. This man's name is Mark Janis, and it's the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFSCME, that he's part of. He is a state social worker. He says he loves working with the kids. It's difficult work, but it's his life's calling, and he's happy to do that. But he doesn't want to, every paycheck, and it comes with the job, have money go to the union. Does that money, though, that goes to the union count towards his retirement benefits? Is it somehow a savings account for him as well?
No, not at all. The money that he's forced to give to AFSCME just covers, it supposedly covers his share of the union's cost of bargaining on his behalf and other union expenses that are not like certain political things like contributions to candidates, election type activities. He can't be made to pay for that union activity, but it's all the other things, first and foremost among them collective bargaining.
How much money then is that per paycheck for a state employee?
Well, it varies a lot depending on the government employee and the union. For him, it's about $45 a paycheck.
That's not a small amount of money. I don't suppose that's a gigantic paycheck to begin with.
Well, it's, you know, it adds up. It certainly adds up to thousands of dollars over the course of a career. And our argument is any of it is too much if you're being forced to support political advocacy that you don't want to support.
I don't exactly understand why you don't want to support it, though. I mean, you know, they're not whistling Dixie, the union. They're actually trying to get you the best wages and benefits and working conditions you can get.
Well, the union takes positions in bargaining about how much the state should spend on wages and benefits and things like that. And not every worker is going to agree with AFSCME's priorities on that, particularly right now in Illinois. You know, Mark Janis, our client, sees the situation Illinois is in with over $100 billion in unfunded pension liabilities and billions in unpaid bills. And then he sees AFSCME advocating for billions more in spending and advocating for tax increases to pay for it.
Well,
and he thinks that's wrong.
And if I may, the way I read his letter, too, he had a first person piece in the Chicago Tribune. He doesn't like the candidates they're supporting. Why is Illinois in this mess? Because we keep electing these ding dongs. Who's advocating for the ding dongs? AFSCME. And then he sees he just put $45 to the fund that goes to support those guys. And he's like, no, we're backing the wrong horses. I totally understand that argument.
Yeah, but to be clear, if people who don't want to be members cannot be members, and then they just pay what they call an agency fee, which is a little bit less than full dues, and supposedly that fee isn't going toward candidates and things like that. It's just going toward the collective bargaining and related expenses. But the collective bargaining itself is political advocacy by AFSCME, because we see that especially in the state of Illinois, where the issues that AFSCME is arguing over in its bargaining, the spending and then also the tax increases to pay for it, are political issues that lots of people have different opinions about.
Boy, you be careful, though. You're going to cut off your nose to spite your face here, sir. That is, if you make it voluntary and you lose a lot of money, then suddenly the union won't have as much power, and maybe those conditions that the employees take for granted won't be so good. Wages, work, working conditions, insurance, stuff like that.
Well, it'll be up to the union, if we prevail, it'll be up to the unions to just convince their workers that they provide a service that is worth supporting and paying for. And you do see in some places, including the federal government and the postal service, where people are not forced to give money to a union, and yet very high percentages actually join the union. And I think this is going to be telling if we prevail in this case, because probably you'll see some unions that have served their members or their workers pretty well will get a lot of support, and some others that maybe have relied on forcing people to pay instead of providing a quality service won't do as well.
Jacob Huber's on the phone line, attorney representing Mark Janus. Who's arguing this literally before the Supreme Court?
Well, we had the arguments this morning, and my co-counsel, Bill Messenger from the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, gave the argument.
How did it go?
It went great. We've made our points pretty well, in my view, and I think the government and the unions had the weaknesses in their case exposed. So I'm optimistic.
I'm shocked to hear you say this. It's too bad that Neil Gorsuch didn't give anybody a tell. I mean, you would guess that he would rule in your favor. He's a conservative, but my understanding is he was very quiet about this and left the bench without really giving any indication of what he was thinking.
That's right. He said nothing at all during the whole argument, and so we're really where we left off, because the Supreme Court heard arguments on this issue in a case a couple of years ago before Justice Scalia died, and we heard what the justices thought then, or at least what their questions were, and then the court, of course, tied in that case because Justice Scalia died, and so now we're left with the same eight justices that were in the case before, and now Justice Gorsuch, about whose views we don't know any better than we did before the argument.
Boy,
so
oh boy.
We'll have to wait and see in June.
Boy, not to belabor the point, but this is another example of elections have consequences. Donald Trump becomes the president. He gets to appoint a Neil Gorsuch, somebody that Hillary Clinton probably wouldn't have appointed. Now Gorsuch will be the deciding vote on this Illinois case, which will have consequences across the country. If unions across the country, firefighters, cops, teachers, don't want to pay into their unions, they may not have to, and that would be, they say, if not a death blow, a big blow to those kinds of unions across the country. And there we sit. I've got more than a few questions and comments from my listeners. Do you have a minute to take a couple calls, Jacob?
Just a minute.
Okay, stay right there. Sun is shining downtown Chicago. I hope it is for you, too. We'll take just a couple more minutes of Jacob Hubert's time. He's the plaintiff's attorney in the Mark Janus versus AFSCME case from the Liberty Justice Center. We're talking about a case that would have ramifications not just in Illinois, but maybe nationwide. And more than a few of you have questions and comments about this. Jacob, I'll just take a minute of your time, and we'll throw a couple of our listeners into the mix. Al, you go first.
Okay.
You're on WGN. Hi, Al. What's your question or comment?
Hello. My comment, I'm a retired and guidance counselor and teacher. I worked for 41 years here in Racine, Wisconsin. And prior to Scott Walker showing up, we had, teachers unions that required that everybody at least pay their fair share. That is, if they didn't agree with what the union was, who we were advocating politically, then they could choose to pay less than that, just pay for the amount of negotiating and representing them and so on. And I felt that was fair, because then you can opt out if you don't agree with what the union is.
Sure, we've talked a little bit about that. Do you have another question about that?
Well, the thing that you didn't talk about, or he didn't talk about with that, is if that, at least in my union, if that union member that chose not to pay full union dues, or chose, now to opt out completely, they still get represented by the union. If they need union representation, even though they're not paying full union dues or they're not paying any.
No, I understand that point. What about that, though, Jacob? I mean, they get to sort of keep their money while everybody else is doing the heavy lifting. What's your reaction to that?
Well, there's a couple responses to that. One is, yes, there are laws on the books that require unions to represent everybody in a given group of workers, whether they're members or not. But the unions lobbied to have those laws put on the books. They want to be able to speak for everyone And even though they complain now that, oh, it's not fair if we're going to have to represent people who don't pay, my guess is they're not going to lobby to change those laws. They'll still want to represent everybody. They like having that power, and they're going to want to keep it. That's one side of it. Another side of it is some workers don't want the union's representation in the first place. Like, they don't consider it a benefit. And so they're harmed by having the union speak for them as their representative. And then they're harmed a second time by being forced, as it is now, to pay for the privilege, you know, the supposed privilege of having the union represent them. So it's not necessarily a benefit to everybody. And in any event, we should all have the right under the First Amendment to decide for ourselves whether a group deserves our support.
All right, let's talk to Melissa. Melissa, you're next. You're on WGN. Hi.
First of all, there is no harm to Mr. Janus by being a member of the union, other than this issue of him having to pay his dues. He is represented fairly as everybody else is, and if he wants to just represent himself, what will happen when he's just forced to work every weekend, or when he's forced to work nights or holidays, or come in when he's sick? Those are all things that he gets, benefits that he gets, by being represented by the union. And also this morning when they were on C-SPAN, the question was, what is the view when the complaint is that the pension money is being invested in investments that Mr. Janus or somebody else doesn't agree with? And there was no real answer there. The collective bargaining is a benefit for all of us, for the collection.
All right, let's let him. Hold on one second, because I want to get a response from him. You're making some interesting points. What about that?
Well, it sounds like she likes the union, and she would pay even if she wasn't forced to do it. And so why not leave it up to every worker to decide whether they like the union? Sounds like she thinks it's really great. So probably if it actually does provide these benefits, it shouldn't be that hard for the union to make the case to workers that they're worth supporting, which is what every other kind of organization has to do to operate. It has to raise money from people who are willing to give it.
You know, the previous caller, thank you for the phone call. The previous caller's point, though, was that if the union isn't representing you, if you don't want to pay dues to the union will still represent you. You'll still benefit from it. I wonder how many of these people, though, really would opt out of union benefits if they didn't have to pay their dues. You know, say, okay, fine, I won't pay it, and I'll take my chances. Maybe I will work weekends. Maybe I won't get the raise y'all got. I wonder how many of them would actually take that step as well. You know what I mean?
Well, we could have a system where only people who are union members are represented by the unions, and then we could find that out.
Then there'd be two tiers, which there kind of are in some shops as it is now anyway. But that's divisive. That really hurts the power of the union and the power of the numbers, the millions of people that are in unions.
Well, whether that's true or not, you shouldn't have to give your First Amendment rights up just because you take a government job. You shouldn't have to fund a highly political organization like AFSCME just because you want to take a job like Mark Janus's as a child support specialist.
Jacob, when are we going to hear from the Supreme Court on this? Do you know?
Well, the Supreme Court's term ends in June, so they'll have to issue a decision by then, and they usually save the big decisions for the very end, so I would expect just about the end of June we'll hear something.
Jacob Hubert, the plaintiff's attorney in this case. What a pleasure. Thanks for talking to us. We'll visit again. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, thank you.